Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamma. Today is Monday, September 18th, 2017. With me today, I have Jeff Butts. How are you, Jeff?
I am wonderful. How are you?
I'm doing all right. And Dave Hamilton, how are you?
I'm splendid. Thanks for having me.
Excellent. I'm so glad both of you are here. And I hope everyone had a great weekend. Yes, I'm talking to you listeners. And we have some stuff that it's time to enlighten people, I believe. So we might as well just hop right into it. So today's the 18th. Tomorrow's the 19th. Tuesday the 19th. That means tomorrow's the day that iOS 11 and watchOS 4 are going to be available to the public. So it's time for us to help people make sure that they are prepared for the update so that they don't have any surprises, or at least unpleasant surprises. So what suggestions do you guys have for what people should do to make sure that their iPhones, their iPads, their iPod Touch, their devices are ready to make the move to iOS 11?
Well, first, you need to draw a pentagram in the middle of your floor. wrong channel.
I would start with updating everything first today.
You mean like all the apps on your devices?
All the apps, okay. And also your iOS. I see a lot of people out there that don't update their iOS updates regularly, right? When there's a, you know, update from 10.3.2 to 10.3.3, that tends to sit. And in fact, I see a lot of iPhones with 10.1 and even 10.2 out there running.
Whoa.
Yeah. It seems crazy to those of us that sort of live and breathe this every day, and we're right on top of when an update comes out, let alone, you know, is available and all that stuff. But a lot of people, including like my kids, will be like, oh, yeah. You know, I haven't updated yet. It's fine. Well, yeah, it is. But if you are going to want the feature, because, you know, for a lot of people, say the update from 10.2 to 10.3 was not flashy enough to make them want to take the time to do it. So
that's fascinating.
Yeah. But iOS 11 is like, oh, yeah, I want that. Right. Which makes sense.
Sure.
But I really think your best bet is to update with, get yourself up to date as of today, because that's going to give you the best shot at success updating to iOS 11. The most testing has been done going from current, which is 10.3.3, right? It's been so long since I've run it on a thing, but I think 10.3.3 is the current as of today.
I believe so.
Yep. Get that updated and then update all your apps, like you said, Jeff, and just get your phone to a point where it doesn't want to do anything else. And I think that's going to be the sort of the best state to have your device in when you go to update tomorrow. Now, that said, before you update any iOS software, I recommend you make sure you have a backup. Now, you might be backing up to iCloud regularly. Fine. Just make sure that that's happened. And also make sure it happens again before you update to iOS 11 tomorrow.
Oh, see, that's excellent advice right there. I think a lot of people forget that just because they ran an update today doesn't mean that things haven't changed between today and tomorrow when iOS 11 rolls out.
Correct.
Yeah. So make sure you have an update right before you start the upgrade process.
Yeah, because there are a number of apps that I've been made aware of that have updates ready to go when iOS 11 drops.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And some of them have started to roll out. I saw an update from Synology today for their DS Photo app that said, this is here to support something in iOS 11. Actually, it's a new image format that we'll talk about a little bit later. Mm-hmm. But it actually said iOS 11 in the update notes, and Apple didn't bounce it.
I'm checking right now. I have an app that I use occasionally called Fitport, added new data types for iOS 11.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. All right. So This stuff's coming today. It's going to be a crazy day of updates. And I don't think that's going to stop all week. Yeah.
I think that's a really safe assumption.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay. So with the changes that Apple's made to iTunes 12.7, do you guys, and this is totally not a setup question, I'm genuinely asking, do you feel comfortable saying that the backup in iTunes 12.7 would be sufficient before upgrading to iOS 11?
Do you want to have to edit this?
Keep in mind, I don't like to edit.
I know. No, 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 no. iTunes is now horrible for backing up your iPhone. Yes, there are ways that we have found to manually take apps and ringtones and other things back into your iOS device. But it is at best a kludge. So even though they're not our sponsor this week, I'm going to say use iMazing for your backup.
And actually, I think all of us are using iMazing.
Yeah, I do want to point out something, though. I can't say 100% on this bandwagon because I will immediately make myself a liar. But I'm like 99% on your bandwagon with you. But here's the thing. The iMazing uses a different format for your backups, right? Those backups are now all stored in a SQLite database, which is awesome because it allows you to do all the great things that iMazing lets you do with the backups, or iMazing Mini lets you do with the backups, which is incremental backups, being able to do snapshots in time, all of that great stuff. And I love that. But the only thing that can restore an iMazing backup onto your iPhone is iMazing. And that is always one of those things that makes me go, whoa. Now, that again, it doesn't mean that I don't live in this iMazing backed up world now. I do, and it's great because I like all those features. But I also keep an Apple-supported backup happening simultaneously. For me, that Apple-supported backup is in iCloud.
Yeah, okay, same here.
So we have the same setup.
Yeah. But you could also back up from iTunes to your computer and have a local Apple-supported backup, and that ain't a bad idea. It only because if you have a problem and you have to call Apple support and you tell them, yeah, I have a backup, it's in iMazing.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Suddenly they might help you, but at best, it gives them an excuse to say, hey, sorry, you know, we tried to get that back on your device for you, but we just can't. And really, we don't know enough about iMazing. You're going to have to call iMazing, right? And that doesn't mean that, I mean, the folks at iMazing that I've met and dealt with are awesome. They probably will help you, but way better when you're in a pickle to have something that is all in Apple's universe so that you can sort of point the finger and say, no, no, we're not hanging up yet. You're responsible.
Right.
There you go.
And this plays into my philosophy about backups is it's the anti-Highlander. There's never only one.
Right.
There's never only one. There shall never be only one.
There shall never be only one. So, yeah. So I have iCloud as a nightly backup for all of my iOS devices. And then iMazing is automatically doing its backups. So I've got these multiple backups happening. And the one thing that I don't do, which it's because, you know, I kind of fly fast and loose with this stuff, I don't do a local iTunes backup before upgrading to a new operating system, but I probably should.
We all make, as long as you're making your decision in a very informed way, I'm not going to judge you or fault you for it. Like, you know what you're doing. You understand the risks. You understand, you know, the limits of where you might expect Apple to support you, but you're also really comfortable supporting yourself.
Right.
Yeah. So, like, okay, you know, fine. You know what you're doing. Eyes wide open, no problem. I just wanted to make sure everybody's eyes were wide open. That's why I said I'm 99% on board with you, but here's this 1% that, you know, I feel like we'd be remiss if we didn't at least acknowledge this. I don't want to, I mean, I love iMazing. I really do. And I don't say that because they've been sponsors in the past or anything. It's like, it's a great thing. And I'm so happy we have it, especially now. But it's not an Apple product.
Right.
Yeah. That's true. It is so completely not an Apple product. Right.
Yeah. In all the good and also all the bad ways.
Right. Sure.
Yeah.
All right. So any other pre-upgrade advice that you guys want to toss out there? Actually, I have another piece of pre-upgrade advice.
Make sure you know your password.
Yeah, that's a really good one, too. Yeah.
Not just like you should know your iCloud password and your iPhone unlock passcode.
Unlock passcode. Yeah. And potentially all of your various email passwords.
Oh, yeah.
That's too. Yep. And then the other thing that I had was all those warnings that you may have been seeing over the past few months saying, hey, this app may not be supported in a future version of iOS. That future version comes tomorrow.
Yeah.
So if you haven't found replacements for 32-bit apps, that those are the ones that have been giving you that warning, hey, I'm not going to be compatible, those apps stop running in iOS 11.
Yeah, you don't get the warning. You get a different alert. It's not a warning anymore. It's simply informational. This shall not run.
Yeah. So if you have mission-critical apps for whatever it is that you do, and or even if it's just a game that you just can't live without and it's only 32-bit, if you don't have a replacement for that, then installing iOS 11 means you are done using that app. It's just over.
Yep.
So keep that in mind, too. All right. Well, then, Dave, you gave us nice foreshadowing for the other thing we're going to talk about, which is HEIF. And this is one of those under-the-hood changes that's happening in iOS 11. And the short version is hopefully better photos for everyone. But of course, we need to expand on that. So well, HEIF.
What is HEIF? Help everybody in front?
High efficiency image format.
Oh, that one.
That one. The other one. Yeah. So this is replacing JPEG as the default image format when you take photos on your iPhone or iPad. And this is a format that's very different from JPEG. The way it works is that your images are using a different compression system, so you end up with images that can be almost half the size of a JPEG counterpart. You know, it's like if you had two iPhones side by side that were exact in every single way, matching. One was running iOS 10, the other one's running iOS 11. They take the exact same photograph. The photograph that's in iOS 11 will look like the one from iOS 10, but it will be smaller. Also, it will potentially be higher quality. And that's because HEIF supports 10-bit color, which means that... it's
16-bit color.
16-bit color.
Okay.
The camera's doing 10-bit.
I thought I had it wrong.
No, it's right. Our cameras will do 10-bit. The format supports 16-bit. JPEG is only 8-bit. So that means that every time we've taken a photo prior to iOS 11, we have lost data because JPEG just can't handle it.
Mm-hmm. Even if it weren't compressing it, we'd still be losing data because of the bit range of JPEG. Huh.
Yeah.
I hadn't even thought about that part before. Yeah.
Yeah. So, Dave, here's something that you can try doing, because you're in the lucky position where you have multiple iPhones, and so you can upgrade one to 11,
yeah,
have another one at 10, and then take a photo that includes like the sky, where you have a lot of color variation in the sky.
Yeah.
Look at the two photos side by side. In the one that comes off of iOS 10, you will probably see, like when you get a sunset where you get that nice color gradation, you will be able to pick out lines or banding.
Right,
in
sure.
That image.
Yeah.
You may not be able to see those at all in the same photo taken in iOS 11.
Ah, that makes
nice.
Sense.
Nice.
Yeah. So you're getting a camera upgrade just by installing iOS 11.
So, but here's the thing, right? This is happening internal to your phone. Anytime you share an image with a non-iOS 11 user, or if you're sharing an image and there's no way for the OS to know that you're not sending it to an iOS 11 user, it will convert it down to JPEG to share it.
Yes, that is true. So it's not like these photos are now stuck in your iPhone, never to be used anywhere else.
But
but Mac OS High Sierra does support the format.
Right. But some apps read your photo library directly. And like what I was mentioning before, Synology's DS Photo is a browser for all the photo libraries that you store on your Synology disk station, hence DS. But it's also a way to back up the vehicle by which you would back up your photos from your iPhone directly to your disk station. And it's great. It supports geofencing. So when you get home, it just blasts them out or, you know, wherever you want to get. And it does it. It's great. You can do it only over Wi-Fi, et cetera. But ever since I updated to iOS 11 beta, it would not work because it had no idea what to do with these .heic photos until today. So apps that manipulate your photos locally on your phone do need to be updated to support this. Otherwise, they won't be able to read those photos in there.
And my guess is we're going to see a lot of photo apps getting updated over the next
absolutely.
Few days.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But just be aware of that. I mean, it took me a while when I first ran into this issue. It's like, what's going on? Why won't this thing work? What's the matter? And it took some digging to realize, oh, right, new file format.
Yeah.
Got it. Yeah. So just be aware that if you're seeing issues being able to read photos, especially with your third-party apps right on your phone, it's almost certainly related to this.
It totally makes sense.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Now, I've seen articles online saying Apple just killed JPEG. And no, Apple didn't just kill JPEG. JPEG, like GIF or GIF, depending on which camp you fall into, these are formats that have been around for so long and are used so pervasively that they're just not going away, at least not anytime soon. HEIF, this is a format that's been around since 2013. And for most people, this is the first time they're hearing about it. I'm betting there's a lot of people listening right now that this is literally the first time you've ever heard about this.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, it's not like this took off like wildfire, even though you get better image quality and smaller image sizes for, you know, compared directly to JPEG. And, you know, this hasn't taken off. But with this being the default on iOS, that means that once people start upgrading, we immediately have millions more HEIF users out in the wild all the time.
Right.
So that's good for the format. But before this becomes the de facto, the thing that replaces JPEG across the board, which still won't ever happen, but this will become a lot more popular, a lot faster now that Apple's on board.
Yeah, this will be the catalyst to many apps supporting and websites supporting HEIF. And it's also important to note that the format is HEIF. I think we'll have a eons long debate over how we pronounce that, kind of like GIF or JIF, HEF or HEIF or whatever. But the files on your phone are .heic files. And I assume the C means codec versus F means format, but just be aware. And also HEIF is a container format. So for things
really
like
cool,
right? So for things like live photos, it can actually store all the individual photos in one container that can, you know, that then has them all, whereas JPEG is just the one image, and so they had to do some different things to make that happen.
The
so.
Whole JPEG video thing. Yeah.
Yeah, the JPEG video thing, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah. Dave, on that whole container idea, that means that you can store image changes as metadata in that container. That means that you can non-destructive edit your images and go back to any point in time on those edits. Ooh. And like selectively change edits.
Huh. Now your photo editing app would need to intentionally support storing your undo trail in this container, but it could store it in that. And that would be shareable potentially with other apps, right? Potentially.
Yeah. If another app understands what those changes are.
Yeah, exactly.
Then. So now we're looking at images that have the potential to be truly non-destructive edits for the life of the image.
Wow. That's
nice.
Yeah.
That's great.
So I'm looking forward to this. The two big barriers that I'm seeing today to HEIF going wildfire. First one is Android OS support, and it's not native. So you have to go looking for third-party apps that will give you HEIF. And then Windows 10, even though Windows 10 supports H.265 and HEIF is like a subset of that, it doesn't support HEIF. So there's no native HEIF support in Windows 10.
Yet.
But the thing is, when people... like on the Microsoft forums, when they've been asking, hey, why can't I open these? Microsoft's response has been, you know, we're always open to suggestions, and just let us know what you think.
Nice.
Yeah. Oh, man.
So I see a lot of third-party opportunities on Windows for HEIF support. But the thing is, it's not native. So until you have native across all the big platforms, it's just not going to become the standard.
Right.
No, but this could be the kickoff of a much more rapid adoption of this.
Yes. Yes. So I'm looking forward to seeing what everyone does with their photos now that they can do HEIF. And I've noticed an improvement in photos, like shots where I expect to see something not look good and it looks better.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and this is just from running the beta. So,
right.
Nice.
Yeah. So I'm very pleased with the format so far and excuse me. And I'm excited about where it's going to go. So we're out of time. We have to wrap up. Jeff, thank you so much for being here today.
Thanks for having me.
Dave, thank you for being here as well.
Thanks for having me. Fun stuff.
Yeah, it's great to have both of you here. And listeners, thank you for joining us. We will see everyone again tomorrow.